Ecclesiastes. You ready back there, CD man, that book of Ecclesiastes. Any sermon you hear in the pulpit, unless something went wrong, is on sermonaudio.com. Sermonaudio.com, go under Elizabeth Baptist Church. We got 1,300 sermons on that site. So don't stay home and get it off the internet or I'll shut it plumb down. But if you do have to miss, you can get it off, you can usually hear it off the internet, and you can also invite people to listen to that. Church has over 300,000 downloaded sermons off sermon audio. So we've had some people saved off that recently also. So you pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to use that, okay? The book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to begin. Let's see where I want to start at. Let's go ahead to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we want to start at verse... Well, we're going to be everywhere in Ecclesiastes. I was trying to see if I could find the first one I'm going to go to, but I don't know for sure yet. So I'm just going to do it as it goes. Does that sound good? Book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to be looking at several texts in this book. Now, what Solomon is the writer of course, wrote the book of Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and the book of Ecclesiastes. And what the message title is going to be is Solomon's Insights. Solomon's Insights on Death. Solomon's Insights on Death. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you about four, maybe five insights that he shares with us on the subject of death. Of course, that's something everyone needs to be prepared for, and it's something that no one ever wants to talk about. And part of being a pastor and part of being a Christian is to seek to help people be prepared for dying, because I really believe that if you're not prepared to die, you're not prepared to live either. I think you always should live life where you're always prepared for that time to come. So that's what we're going to focus on today. That's something that we all, as collectively as a church, we should seek to have people prepared to die. And when you're prepared to die, guess what? Then you're prepared to live. Then you're prepared to live. I think one of the problems that people have today is they want all the benefits of salvation, but they don't want to serve the Lord with their life. Have y'all noticed that? Now, I'm not saying you earn your salvation, because salvation is a gift and not a wage. Salvation is not something you earn. It's a gift that Jesus bought and paid for, and you receive it. But now that you have it, we become a servant. We become what? We become a servant of the Lord. And our life becomes, it's all about the Lord after you're born again. That's that. Do y'all see a problem? I see a problem with that. I see a lot of people that want, you know, victory over death, and they want to go to heaven and all these different things. But then they want to use their time to just serve the world. I have a big problem with that. I really do. I know. According to the book of Philippians 1:21, Paul said it best. He said, "For me to live is Christ. If God gives me breath for another day, it's going to be for Christ. If He gives me another year, it's going to be for Christ. Whatever my time I have remaining is going to be, it's going to be for Him." And we are accountable as, well, what are we after we're born again? You know, one of the most used names for God's people is they're called servants. Servants. Well, what's a servant do? They serve. And you serve where you're at. God will strategically place His servants in certain places so that they could be used there to witness to other people. I don't think the job you have is just by accident. I think He places you in a place where you go to school. I think He places His servants strategically in places so that they can be used there and so that they can tell other people about Jesus. You ain't just here to make money. If that's all you're here for, then that ain't much of a living, is it? You're here to serve Him. And you'll find that if you're born again, you'll be happier if you're serving Jesus like you should be, and you'll be more miserable if you're not. You need to get that serving thing straightened out, because it's a problem with a lot of folk. And do y'all see what I'm talking about? Oh, they want all the benefits associated with salvation, but they don't want to serve the Lord. And I want to tell you something. I want to serve Him till all the air blows out of me. And I'm not serving Him to get saved. I'm serving Him because I am saved. And I have a desire in my soul to please Him with my life. That's what drives me. That's what I'm driven by. I want to please Him. I ain't so concerned about pleasing people. And I don't want to be arrogant or I don't want to be hateful to folk. But that's not what motivates me. I mean, that was the problem with the Pharisees. All their works they did was to be seen of people. I want to do my works to please the Lord. And when you're doing it to please the Lord, then you're in secret what you are in public. Where only the Lord can see. All right. Let's get into this message now this evening. That's just a warm-up. Ecclesiastes chapter. Let's go ahead and begin. Ecclesiastes, let's begin at verse chapter 3 and verse 2. I got about four verses I'm looking at, and I just couldn't figure out which one I wanted to use. Solomon's Insight on Death is the title of this message. Solomon's Insight on Death. And I'm going to give you the insights that he has given here in Ecclesiastes on death. It'll be a total of five if everything goes like I plan. If it goes too long, I'll stop. And I'll finish it, Lord willing, later. Okay? Insight number one, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2. Death has a time. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2 said there's a time to be born and there is a time to die. Now you know what? There ain't a person in this congregation didn't know what I just said. Everybody here knows that as sure as you have a birth date, you also have a death date. And the only one that actually knows that is the Lord. The Lord has a lot of them. You know, Samuel Jackson believed that, didn't he? He said that they attributed that to his courage. He said he felt that the Lord had allotted his time. And he said if a man truly believes that, he'll be as comfortable on the battlefield as he is in his bedchamber. And he was. That's one of the reasons why he was so courageous in battle, because he realized he couldn't die unless his time had come. And that's just the way that he looked at that. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, notice again, verse 8, again, speaking about a time. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day, there you have it again, in the day of death. Notice Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and the verse 12 says, for a man knows not his time. So those three texts that show you that you have a time. Brother Job, in Job 14 and verse 5, says that our days and our months have been appointed and have been determined by the Lord. Just we don't know when that's going to be. So many people gamble with this. There might be people here today that if you knew you had well, at least this is what you'll say. You if you knew this is it, if you knew today is it, if you actually knew it, if you knew today was it for you, there's some of you people here today that want to get saved. That would be, you think in your heart, that'd be a priority for you. You know, you think, well, if it's today, I'd like to get saved. That's one of the things I'd like to do. I'd like to get saved. But at the same time, you're not guaranteed it this evening. And you're not guaranteed an end of this church service. You need to be shook into a little bit of reality, because this first point is very important in Solomon's insight on death. Death has a time. And you have a time. And what that we don't know? Just don't know when it is. Just do not know when that is. So that's why you always have to be what? You always have to be ready to go. Now, it's just old people die, isn't it? I read where C.H. Spurgeon sent his sons one day out into a graveyard and then come back and tell me what you learned. That's what he did. He said, boys, I wanted to see any sons. He sent them out into a graveyard. And he said, when you come back, I want you to tell me what you learned when you went out there. And I want you to look at the tombstones that's there. And when you come back, I'm going to call you in and you tell me what you learned. You know what they learned? They learned it was not just wasn't old people that died. He's seen the graves of babies, of teenagers, of middle-aged people. He's seen the graves of old people. See, death isn't no respecter of persons. And we just do not know this time. We don't know when He's going to come. We don't know when you're going to die. That's the reason why you always have to be what? You always have to be ready. I want to tell you something else before I move on. I mentioned this in the beginning. And I've done talked about service just a little bit, and I'll talk about it again. Christian man, Christian woman, young man, don't waste your time here serving the world. We all got to work. We all got to do things, you know, to make a living. But don't make these things. Don't make sports and don't make jobs and don't make hobbies more important than the things of God. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Well, so when you stand before the Lord, He's not going to ask you how many touchdowns you made. Because to be honest with you, He probably don't care about such things as that. He ain't going to ask you how fast you run, and He ain't going to ask you how many fish you caught. And what's important is what you did in His service. Amen. After all, the most common name for God's people is we're called servants. And what's a servant do? Serve. And you should have a desire to do that, Coy. I tell you what, and that's one of the things that's wrong. I figure that in the United States, there's probably a more of a concentration of Christians than in any part of the world. You imagine? I'd venture to say that. But as far as having a great number that's dedicated to the cause, I think that's different. I think many times what you have is you have a lot of people that claim the name but don't serve the Lord. They don't have no desire to. And would you not agree with me today? There's something wrong when someone don't want to serve Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something else while I'm on the subject. If you're saved, there's no greater joy than serving Jesus. There ain't nothing compares to it. It's just so much greater. Because these things are eternal things. These are things that last as opposed to things that are temporary. Death has a time. Here's what I'm saying. Don't waste it. God's people, don't waste it. You know death has a time. Don't waste it. Don't waste your time. Spend time daily with the Lord. Serve the Lord where you're at. Serve the Lord where you're at. If you're here then unsaved, what in the world are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Use the same old illustration I always use now. If you knew you was dying, and the doctor figured you had one day to live, and I had the cure in this little styrofoam cup. And I set that on your table, and I said, now there's been a lot of people that drank this cure, and it made them better. It made them whole. It made them better. And here it is for you. You receive it, it'll make you better. Now, you knew the guy or the girl could die at any time. If you come in a week later and there set that cure on that man's table, what would you call it? Let me tell you what I would call it. I'd call him a fool, wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you call him a fool? Because he could die at any time and he wouldn't take the cure. Well, a lot of people that way. I was listening to one of my mechanics one time, and he used to be a deacon in a church, you know. Told me all about what he used to be. What he used to be don't matter to me. And I said, and I presented the gospel to him just as plain as a note presented, and I asked him to trust it. And he said, No, I don't want to. And I said, well, if Jesus was coming, it was like 15 or 12. If Jesus was coming at 12, what would you do in that 15 minutes there? Why? He said, didn't even stutter. I'd want to get saved. I said, you're not guaranteed 15 minutes. You don't know your time. So God's people, don't you waste yours here. Don't you waste it. Y'all want to take full advantage of it. I want to serve Him until all the breath flows out of my body. Hope I can always preach. If I get to where I can't preach because of health, I'll pray till I die. But I'll serve Him some way. How about you? There's an old hymn they sing up in the mountains where I go hold revivals at. And says, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. I love that old hymn. And we will. We should. Because we get joy out of doing that. Death has a time. Are you ready for your time? Number two. Here's the second insight Solomon gives us on death. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Got the first one, death has a time. Y'all knew that. That's nothing you don't know. That lost people say it just as much as saved people do. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, here's the second insight Solomon gives us. He says, a good name is better than precious ointment. You need to have a good name. I got to be careful with this because I want you to know something. If you're going to be a good servant of the Lord, if you're going to witness to people, you got to have a good name. There's too many people claim to know Jesus that don't have a good name. Their life's horrible. And you can't witness to people if people don't know you're saved and can't tell you're saved. You should be able to tell it by how you live and how you conduct yourself and how you talk and where you go. They should be able to tell it. Y'all think? Should be able to tell it. That's all free. I didn't plan on preaching on that. Good name is better than precious ointment. Now, I want you to hear this. The day of death. See, we're talking, the key word there is better. A good name is better than precious ointment. And, so that word better goes with the next statement. And, the day of death than the day of one's birth. I've done a sermon here before and I've done other sermons on it. And I ask a question, will your death day be better than your birthday? It says the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. You know, we celebrate birthdays. I love it when you celebrate mine. We celebrate birthdays, don't we? But here it says that our death day is better than the day of one's birth. That's something to think about, isn't it? Will your death day be better than your birthday? You mean some of our best days on earth is our birthdays? People will give you money. You forgot mine, it was the 23rd. You can give me money today if you like. People give you gifts. People shake your hand. People hug you at your what? We celebrate birthdays. So that is oftentimes for some of your most happy days on earth, sometimes your birthday. But here it says that the death day, the day of one death is better than the day of one's birth. You got to feed that word better in there. Is that true? Not true of everybody. But it is true if you're saved. It's only true of saved people. It's not true of lost people. But it is true of saved people. I've told you this before. You know when my best day is going to be? If the Lord don't come, do you want to really know when my best day is going to be? And I'm not trying to sound morbid. I'm just going to sound real. You know what my best day will be? The day I die. Now, I'm not wishing to die. I fight to live. Don't get me wrong. But when you're a child of the King, your best day will be the day that you die. Your death day will actually be better than your birthday. That would be better. That's a sermon in and of itself. And how will it be better? Well, you go to be with the Lord. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It'll have an effect on you too, because when your spirit leaves your body, the book of Hebrews describes it as the spirits of just men made perfect. I'm not perfect. I got a perfect standing in justification. But I still have evil thoughts. If someone pulls out in front of me, it makes me mad. You think when somebody pulls out, oh, God bless you, brother. I don't do that. No, I'll holler, you know. I mean, I fight anything. You know what I'm saying? We're not perfect. But I want you to hear me. I'd love to be without sin. Now, if you think you're without sin, we need to talk about your line. Because I can guarantee you ain't. I follow you around a little bit. If I could hear your heart, I guarantee you. Especially you, Deacon. You're not perfect. But when I die, the book of Hebrews talks about the spirits of just men made perfect. You see, this old body is a sinful body. But, Coy, when I die and my spirit leaves, amen, perfect. Not hindered by this thing. Okay. Go to be with the Lord, be perfect. The Bible says when we see Him, we'll be like Him. See, so we won't have no sin. We won't have no evil thoughts and evil. Isn't that a glorious thing? That'd be a great day. Go to be with the Lord. Go to be with Him. Psalms 23, David said, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that going to be something? See the King. With Isaiah says, I shall see the King, behold a land that is very far off. What's life without it? Wouldn't aging be a horrible thing? Now, I think I'm aging gracefully right now. And I don't dye my hair. I've said that. I've got accused of that two straight Sundays. Don't dye my hair. It's staying black right now. What'd you say, Deacon? Each tick of the clock brings you closer to your time. Each tick of the clock brings you closer to your time. And you just do not know when that is. So, we just don't want... The average lifespan, according to Brother Moses in Psalms 90, 70 years. 90, says Psalms 90. Then it says some by strength is 80 years. It used to seem like 10,000 years old at one time to me. 55? You ever run the numbers on 55 and 70? When I think about 15 years ago, Hollis, when I was 40, well, that seems like it was last year. Why is it running fast? It's just running fast. It's running fast for you too. You need to be prepared for that. You need to have victory over death, and you need to be ready for it. And your death date can be better than your birth date if you know Jesus, if you know Him. Go to be with Him. Jacob, book of Genesis, lifted up his feet into the bed, to his bed, and said he's gathered to his people. Left his people was on his side and gathered to his people on the other side. Sexton, you look forward to seeing your pop, don't you? And you know you're going to. You're going to spend eternity together. Because the separation is just temporary. Then, isn't that the glorious thing to know? What people do don't know Him. Your death date can be better than you. You remember Brother Lazarus? We just preached on him not long ago, Luke chapter 16. Man, you talk about a horrible mess. He had a horrible life here. I don't know what his younger life was, but Lazarus, when you look at him in the Scriptures, says he was a beggar. He couldn't work. He was disabled. I don't think he had any family because it says usually they were real good about taking care of family back in them days. I don't think he had any family. I don't. And it says somebody had mercy on him, and when he couldn't work, he had to beg. So they took this man and they laid him at this rich man's gate, just so that some crumbs might be thrown to him. You know, he's in a mess. Y'all agree? Beggar laid at the gate, full of sores. I don't know if he had different forms of leprosy. I don't know if that's what he had, but he had some kind of... This would have disfigured what he looked like. He probably stumped too because he couldn't take a bath. Would y'all like to be like him? Man, you look at the mess that this man, his life was. You can read about him in the book of Luke chapter 16. Well, the day he died was the best day of his life. The day he died, it said, the Bible says he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Amen. His death day was better than his birthday. Went off to be with the Lord. Hey, went off to be with the Lord. Set free from that old confines of that old sick body. Think about it. Went to be off with the Lord. Went to paradise. Ain't that a glorious thing? His death day was better than his birthday. Let me ask you a question now. Would yours be? Well, if not, you need to do something about that today. Number three. I go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We've noticed two insights in death. First of all, death has a time. Number two, your death day can be better than your birthday. You trust Christ. Number three, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. Notice what this says. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Now, let's just think about that just a little bit. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Now, have you ever went to the house of feasting? Yeah, the men did. Friday. Yeah. Pup, you really went to the house of feasting. We went to Golden Corral. That's what we call the house of feasting around here. Went to the Golden Corral, a buffet or a buffet. Never how you want to pronounce it. Yeah. We went to the house of what? Feasting. That was fun, wasn't it? We all had a good time. Took a bunch of our men. We sat down there and fellowshipped and ate breakfast together. That's the house of what again? Feasting. What's the house of mourning? Well, that's a funeral house. That's a funeral house. And here it says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. I mean, you just think about that just for a little bit. How? I mean, who wants to go to a funeral house? How in the world could that be better? A lot of times when people go to the house of feasting, it's all happy and we're just thinking positive thoughts and things. But you go to the house of mourning, what do you think about? Here's what you should think about. One of these days, that person laying up there is going to be you. You can get a little bit of wisdom that way. One of these days, that's going to be you. And are you ready for that? So that's why it says that it indeed is better. I had a paper here that I wanted to read, and I'm going to look down here and see if I can find it. I lose everything at least three times, then I'll find it usually on the third one. Let me see if I brought that with me. If I didn't, I'll read it at another time. Yeah, I can't find it. That's all right. Maybe the Lord didn't want it read. But let me tell you something. I read about Alexander the Great. And one of his requests when he died is that they turn his hands over in his coffin with them out like this so that people could look and see what? He wasn't taking nothing with him. He wasn't taking nothing with him. People live their lives for all these things. We even judge success that way. We judge success by the amount of money, the type of car, nice home. Hey, people judge your churches that way too. Oh, church is doing great. That's how much money they got. Don't mean you're doing good, does it? That don't mean you're doing good, does it? Oh, you might be doing good financially, but spiritual things is what's the most important thing. Spiritual things is the most important things. Better go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of what again? Feasting. So better to go to the funeral house. You can learn a lesson there. That person's speaking to you, not literally, but they're saying this is going to be you. You need to be ready. Those are three insights we've seen so far. Death has a time. Will your death date be better than your birthday? It's better to go to the funeral house than the restaurant, really. You learn more there. You learn what's important. You can learn what's important. You'll learn about eternal things there. Now let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'm going to get done. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, notice what it says in verse 3. It says, there is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. That's a common phrase that Brother Solomon uses. There is one event unto all. One event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men are full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after they go to the dead. Everybody see it? One event happens to who? Happens to them all. That's saved and lost. God doesn't exempt His people from dying. Sometimes people say, oh, I can't believe God did. Well, God didn't promise that you wouldn't die in this life. Nowhere in that book. Now, there'll be a generation that don't die, and that'll be the generation that's alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. But He doesn't promise. That's part of the curse placed upon men. We die. But what the Lord did is He gave us victory over it. It's different for us. It's different for us. Psalm 73, I'm not going to turn you there. I'm just going to tell you about it. You write these and look them up home. Asaph was over the king's choir, or he was over the temple choir. So he was a man that loved the Lord and loved to sing praises. He got himself in a bad way in Psalm 73. And I see God's people get in the same mess that he was in Psalm 73. What happened to him is he got become envious at the prosperity of the wicked. And some of you have done the same thing, and I've done it. Here you are trying to serve the Lord and trying to, you know, please Him with your life, and here's this heathen. And then you're having a hard time. You might be sick, or you might have lost your job, or you might have lost your health, or whatever. And here's this heathen over here that don't want nothing to do with the Lord. Now, oh my, his job's cooking, and he's got a brand new bass boat in the backyard, and his house is booming, and he's healthy as a horse. You ever see it? And then what do? You get envious. That's what Psalm 73, you get envious. You get envious at the what? At the wicked. And you'll go around, and your mind says, well, here I am serving the Lord, and look at him. He's being so blessed, and I'm having such a hard time. Why is he being blessed? Well, that was Asaph's problem. And it really affected him bad. And you know what Psalm 73 says? Until he went to the house of the Lord. Because when people get the feeling that way, you know what they do? They stay home because they're mad at the Lord over it. They do. I've seen it happen. Why ain't you there? Well, you know, they'll give you an excuse, but they're mad at the Lord is what the problem is. They're looking at this heathen over here, don't want nothing to do with the Lord, and he's prospering. Here he is. Here's a man serving the Lord, and he's having a hard time. Get angry over it. Blame God for unfairness. He said, I felt that way until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Their end is different. What little bit they have, it's what little bit they have here now. And that's not going to last unless they trust Jesus and then they go out to eternity. Having lost everything, worst of all, their own soul. One event happens to all. The death of the righteous is so much different. Asaph became envious, but then when he started looking at eternity, he changed his mind. The Lord brought him back to where he needed to be. Remember old brother Job? I can't imagine. Seven sons, three daughters. Read Job 1 and 2 and see what happened to him. Children are all killed. Children were killed. He lost all he had. He's the richest man of the East, so he would have all kinds of money. He lost all that. I mean, it must have been a horrible day. I mean, I couldn't imagine. He had every place he owned, there was a disaster happened at it. And one servant would escape. There'd be a guy here telling him this is bad news, while another guy would be back here waiting to come in and tell him more. So he lost all of his wealth and had all his children killed. Can you imagine such a day as that? All on the same day. And then I figured Job was a good-looking man. And then he got some kind of skin disease that made him stink when you look on over in the book. And then his servants got to where they didn't respect him. And he's become strange even to his wife, the Bible said. You talk about a mess. I don't know how long he was in that type of condition, but you talk about, have you had a day like Job's? Nothing compares with that, does it? I mean, you talk about a bad time. He did. He thought he would die, but you know, he lived 140 years after that. Because God has allotted our... He got over that. The Lord raised him up and set him back and all these things. It is often said that Job lost everything. No, he didn't lose everything. In Job chapter 19, verse 25 through 29, here's what he says. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and shall stand at latter day upon the earth. And though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in the flesh I shall see God. Amen. Did he lose everything? No, he didn't lose his hope. He still had hope. The confident expectation at the end of his days going to be with the Lord was still there. You don't lose that. He drew all strength from it. He knew he's going to get a new body one of these days. He's going to know he's going to go to the Lord's house one of these days. Brother Daniel, you can read about him in Daniel 12, verses 9 and 10. Here's what God told him. He kept wanting more information from the Lord. You remember? Here's what the Lord told him. Daniel, go your way. Like telling a little child, get away from me right now. I told you all I'm going to tell you. He said, Daniel, go your way, for thou shalt rest. But you will stand in your lot in the latter time. Well, you know what the word lot means? Your inheritance. He had a heavenly inheritance. Folks, only God's people are mentioned as being at rest when they die. Only God's people are at rest when they die. One event happens to all, but God's people have... We look at death different. You see the different looks here? That's why I give it to you. It's different. It's different. Last of all, let's go to Ecclesiastes 7. I'm going to go ahead and give you this one too. Ecclesiastes 7. Just about done. Y'all all right? Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I want everybody to hear this one, and I will close with this. I want to explain it to you, but let's go ahead and look down at verse 17. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. I want you to hear this. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? You say, well, Jeff, you said we have a time. And here it mentions people dying before their time. That's a valid point, I think. I think what he's referring to in this text, I think you do have a time. The scriptures are clear on that. But what is the average time given in the Bible? Psalms 90 and verse 10. 70 and 10. That's the average time. Some people die before that time, don't they? Some people have what I like to call, we call it a premature death. They don't live up to the 70 or to the 80. They die younger. They die before their time. They die before their sum total, so to speak, is reached. And you know why many of them don't reach that? They abuse their bodies. I'm not saying that if you live healthy that it's going to be always peachy for you, because even healthy people get sick. But boy, we got a lot of sin going on in this land, and people really do abuse their bodies. They abuse their body with drink. There's a lot of alcohol abuse in this land. There's a lot of it among young people. There's a lot of abuse of drugs in this land, both prescription drugs and illegal drugs. There are just as many prescription drug addicts as there is illegal drug addicts. Just as many. Pot, all these different things. And this abuse of their body takes their health and takes their life. Have you ever seen it? I've seen it. I've seen what it does to folk. I know boys that I graduated high school with, big, strong men, weightlifters and things, football players. They didn't reach the 70 and 10. They went out of here what we would call prematurely. Why? They abused their bodies. They did. They took in things that destroyed their health. I remember one buddy of mine, and I remember coming home one time, and I was coming in from work, and he was sitting on my porch. He was sitting on my front porch, and it tickled me to death. I hadn't seen him in years. I really hadn't seen him in years, and all he knew is I was a preacher, and I was his buddy years back. And he was sitting on my porch, and he was a big man. I mean, he'd flatten you out on a football field. I see him do it a video time. And he was sitting on my porch, and I said, I called him by name. I said, I'm so glad to see you. He said, man, I'm a mess. And I remember it was big. He probably had, I bet he had 18-inch arms back in the day, but his arms was that big around him. The abuse took his health. I talked to him about Jesus, you know, and he came to church, the crowd, the whole church service. But I can just remember what it done to him. It changed the way he looked. It took his health. And it was, how many people have you seen do that? Everybody here knows somebody that's done that. And it's premature because they have abused their bodies. I'm not saying you won't get sick if you're healthy, try to be healthy. I'm saying that. I'm saying that this is self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted. And it gets a grip on them and they can't get out of it. And they die before their time. That average lifespan is 70. They don't reach it because they destroy their bodies. Scripture says our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're to keep them holy. Drugs, prescription drugs, illicit drugs. I've just seen what it does to folk. It takes their heart. Wine, a new wine, taketh away the heart. You ever read that in Proverbs? I've seen men that would take milk, money that was needed for milk for their babies, and use it to buy stuff to fuel their addiction. You seen it? And you ain't above it. You ain't above it. That's why I stay away from it. You don't know why, where I'm at on all these, that's where I'm at. You need to get away from it. It'll kill you. It'll take your health. And it'll cut your life off way before that 3 score end. See where I'm coming from? It'll cut you off before that. Die before your what? What to say? Why shouldest thou die before your time? That's the allotted time given in Psalms 90 that Moses gave. Now, this is Solomon's insight on death. Death has a time. Will your death date be better than your birth date? Number 3, it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting because you can gain knowledge there. One event happens to all, but the difference with the righteous is they have hope in death. They know they're going to be with the Lord, and you know you're going to see them again, and they're better off now than they ever was ever, seriously. And then last of all, you can abuse your body so bad that you can have a premature death. Before that, 3 score and 10 is what I think that's referring to. Well, I'm done. And I don't know how it is with you today. I've talked a lot about that and death and things and the need.